Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
I'm going to teach on the prophetic, but there was a class that the general public missed out on yesterday. Now somebody asked me a question on it on X today. And so because of that, I'm going to talk about that 2 minutes, and then I'll move to the topic of today. How do we ensure our souls are not asleep? How do we keep our spirits active as believers? The Bible said that when man slept, the enemy came to plant tares. Most of the problems that people have in this world, especially Christians, it is when their spirits sleep that they have that problem. And many of us will think, oh, my spirit can never sleep. Oh, it can. The human soul has the tendency to become familiar with things. We have a tendency, when we see something new, we are excited. If you just buy a car, you'll be excited. You'll be dreaming of it. You want to marry your wife, you'll be excited. You'll be dreaming of how the time. You want to marry your husband. You'll be saying, my husband, I'm getting married. Oh, glory. God has answered my prayer. 2-3 months later, you see the same wife taking that husband for granted, the same husband taking the wife for granted, looking at another woman or looking at another man or complaining all the time or making the life of that person miserable. The first love has waxed old. And that love has slept off. And suddenly, the person that used to give you so much joy is not giving you joy anymore. The person that used to give you so much gladness is not giving you gladness anymore. Just find yourself complaining. In fact, sometimes you don't even know why. A lot of wives will call me and they will say, Bradwing, I don't even know why. I just woke up in the morning and it was just irritating me. It didn't do anything, to be honest. But I didn't know what came over me. And then they left the house and died there. And as they have not come back. And I'll be like, why are you suddenly irritated that your husband is at home? Did he do anything wrong? No. Has he done anything wrong like that before? No, I just woke up in that mood. You know, I was just looking at him. I just don't know. The love has slept. The spirit has slept. See? So you see the car that you bought that you are so joyful about, that you dream of it. That when you are in the car, you feel like you have entered one step into heaven. You see yourself suddenly not liking the car anymore. You outgrow it. It's our nature. Not all of us here. All of us here. It's our nature. Our awe, the ability to keep awe in the mind of an average person is 20 days. Or 21 at most. That somebody will be amazed. 21 days. After that, the thing becomes normal. We have the ability to swallow glory and then pretend as if it is dust for us. You see a woman who got married. She'll be like, oh my God, my husband is fantastic. Oh, we had a wonderful night. After a month, she'll get used to it. She'll stop complimenting him, you see. The man too, get married. My wife, our food is the best. She has this. After a month, he'll get used to it. Again, we get used to it. And then we get used to God. We get used to God to the point where we sometimes act as if God, God is our mate. I remember one of my students one time, we were praying, and it was a very serious prophetic service. And this girl said her network was not behaving well. She was using, I don't know, one of the Nigerian networks. And then she said, I put an angel in charge of this network. This network must work. But the network was misbehaving. Then she said, I'm going to tell this angel to kneel down, close his eyes, and face the wall. you must see how the person has imagined in her mind that the angel is a small child that she wanted because you want to talk on Zoom. See the level of disrespect. Princes of heaven, the stars of God, that God gave names, they were born before you were born. Ha! Hey. Oh my. And she wrote it. She wrote it and said, when my network was being given, I just said, the angel of the Lord should let this network work. When the network was simply given, I said, this angel, I'll tell you to kneel down and face the wall. I'll tell you. I screamed. In fact, I screamed. I screamed. And I punished her for it. It's still my daughter. I made sure she didn't go empty. I said, I must punish you before the angel punish you. You guys have, you know, it is not disrespect, it is familiarity. When you are used, when people talk to God anyhow, you will see that reverence has left their worship. They'll just stop. A lot of us, many of us, we behave in that light. And so that is a reflection of the very first love, that the love has waxed cold. We have it in our nature. So you see somebody that is born again who used to hear from the Lord. Suddenly he begins to abuse it. He didn't hear anything from God. He will say he heard. He will use it to manipulate somebody else. Do you think I should travel or I should stay? I remember a sister came to me to talk about a particular relationship, situation she found herself in. She had this brother in her life and she loves the brother. But at the beginning, she was one that told this guy that we can only be friends. I do not want to have a relationship with you. So then they became close, and to the point where they were like best friends. In fact, not like they were best friends, but it wasn't any relationship. Both of them were single. And then this brother found somebody else and fell in love. Brother then came to tell you that, finally, God has done it. I have somebody I want to marry. I've fallen in love. As soon as you heard the brother has fallen in love, suddenly, your world was turned upside down. You began to find a way to marry him now because he has found somebody. And then she subtly came into my DM because, of course, both of them were in our fellowship. She subtly came into my DM and try to program me to use the Spirit of God to tell the brother that he is the right person. Oh, the brother should do away with this new person. That I've known this man for, we've been friends now for 10 years, but very close friends for the past 5 years. He knows everything about him. I know everything about him. I'm in love with him, but we have been friends, but how can they go and marry somebody else? So now, Brangwinga, please. With a lot of emotional blackmail. you see, when people begin to think that, what do you think has happened? The fear of God has gone down. Love has waned. Spirit is asleep. It is not the soul that is in control. Manipulation of the things of the spirit. When you find yourself in this kind of situation where your spirit is no longer praying as normally prays, where you have gotten used to God so much that you take God for granted, where you are not quickened by the presence of God the way you are quickened before, where your fellowship is waxing cold. In the normal church, they will call this backsliding, but it's not backsliding. Backsliding for church means you are not attending church, you are not giving us offering tithe. You are not doing what the church wants. Church is not kingdom of God. Church is the church, like African or the general church you attend in this place, is part of the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom of God. And we have a duty to the church. But this one I'm talking about is you and God. You and God, your relationship with God. Everybody, every one of us knows how that relationship was at the beginning. Once you notice that it's not so anymore, and nobody else should tell me that, I never was cold once. It's a lie. I told you, it's our nature. It's in our nature as Christians to was cold over everything. You buy somebody a house today that they made it of gold. Person will get there today and say, wow, and love it. suddenly you see that the person would, by tomorrow, will be looking for another house. And the grace of God, God has blessed me with some cars. And I will use them and give them out or use them. But as much as I love cars, if I buy the car today, I begin to drive it. Within a short time, the oil is gone. My first car, I was looking at it from the window every day, thinking that the car would just walk and run away. Now, I will not even remember I have cars. I will not even remember because the awe is gone. And the same thing with our work with the Holy Spirit. It's a condition of the human soul not to slip off on things that it has acquired. And once you think you have acquired God, you can slip off on it. So the key not to slip off is to be deliberate and consistent in your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When I notice that I would normally slip off, or sometimes I will wonder, you know, that singer said, prone to wonder, Lord, I see it, prone to leave the God I love. Come, that's him. The hymn was written several years ago, maybe in the 1700s or the 1800s. But you see the same condition that this one was describing, that all of us, we have a natural ability to prone, we are prone to wonder. Wonder is not W-O-N-D-R, it is W-A-N-D-R. So to stray, we are prone to stray. We are prone to leave. We are prone to drift. Especially we said that nobody ever leaves God in one decision. Like, God, I'm breaking your heart, I'm not doing it again. He said, nobody ever says that to God. He said, before anybody will say, I don't want to be a Christian or that I've lost my faith, he said, the person will have been drifting away from the Lord in their heart for many months or many years. And then one day, they will just not feel God again and they will say, I don't want to be a Christian again. That's what happens when the Spirit dies. The disadvantage of that is we can easily be attacked. The enemy is always waiting for people to slumber, to sleep. I wrote an article about it. You can go read it. It's on X, and it will be on bengaliomo.com. So you can read more on these things. Suddenly, the person becomes sickly. Somebody that's always healthy, that the joy of the Lord has been puffing him up. Suddenly, the person loses. The person becomes sick. Suddenly, the person begins to misbehave. Suddenly, the mood swing comes back. Suddenly, the mental distress comes back. Suddenly, all the things that are gone, like, remember the thinking of Saul. Saul came from a family that has schizophrenia and all these mental problems. It wasn't new to him. But it was God's choice. And God then said, when he met Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, that I'm going to give you a new spirit, right? I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'll make you a new man. That means a man that will have the Spirit of God, who can no longer be troubled by emotional stress or mental issues. And he received that new spirit. And he went back into Israel, and he was chosen as king. And then fight came in. And then God decided, when God left him, what happened? The Bible said evil spirits came back. So people think that it was God that afflicted him. No. The madness that has been in the family line for long, the madness came back. I've seen it happen to so many people. When you pray for them, they get healed of mental illness. I will tell them, stay in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Don't say that a lot of people want to heal them of a problem. Their next agenda is to find another problem that they want. Say, I have mental problem. You say, let us pray. We pray. The spirit is cast out. They're fine. Next thing, I want to marry. I want husband. I want wife. I will say, first enjoy your peace of mind. Once you are here, you are listening to me now. I see Baradunga, you're saying something. I will say, first enjoy your peace of mind. What do I mean by that? One of us know that relationship and marriages are very emotionally intense. And oftentimes they make your emotion go up and down, down and up, jumping. All of us know this. If you understand what I'm saying, can I see your hand? Sit back to know you are hearing me clearly. You get it? Aha, thank you. So because of that, I will say to them, don't be in a hurry to go into a relationship. Because you go into a relationship now, the guy is not calling, hey, or you are overcalling the guy, or you feel insecure. You are looking at yourself, you are thinking I'm not fine. Or the guy talks to you somehow, you are emotional, you are crying. That's how relationships are extremely intense. And for somebody that is just coming out of mental issue or psychological issue, the worst place to ever want to enter is a relationship. No, first heal, enjoy yourself, enjoy. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to see how long I will do if I follow this regimen to the Holy Spirit. I want to see how long it will take me before I need to use Lagatin again. I want to see how long it will take me before I have to, okay, let me go to medical checkup. Let me see if the doctor will say, you are doing well. Because it's a mental health issue you are dealing with. So you have to time yourself and say, okay, I was in the hospital January. Okay, God, please keep me till June. When you are in June, I'm fine. No, I didn't see this thing. Let me wait till December. When you are in December, I think I'm doing very well. This thing is not returning. Let me wait another. Then when you wait 2 years, there's no crisis, there's no problem. You can say, okay, I'm stable enough now. I want to have a relationship. Then even then, with a lot of well training and teaching and help, you will get there. But look, but I'm going to insist. If I wait 2 years, what will be my fate? I want to drop into relationship now. Hey, let me tell you something good. Relationship will test the best of us. In fact, the sanest person in this world, relationship will test you very well. First, it will make you excited. You will not be able to sleep at night. You'll be chatting, chatting, chatting. It will affect your sleep cycle. Because normally you will not, maybe you sleep at 8 p.m. But now you find the bubble now, or you find the babe, and you cannot be sleeping, and you'll be chatting, and you are not responding. People will say, why are you not responding? You want to date somebody, you are not giving them your attention. So you have to give attention. Then you'll both be chatting and chatting and chatting and chatting, do video call, do this, do this, do this. It depends mess your sleep cycle. That is natural problem. That's the law of force. It's first thing is to kill your body clock, kill your sleep cycle. Eventually, it begins to test your nerves. I called him, he didn't come back. I said, he didn't come back. I told him today is my birthday. He didn't greet me. I remember one person told me, hey, so I'm waiting for my younger. I told him to start from that April 18 is my birthday. I'm waiting for him. If that's April 18, he forgets, because he forgets himself. If he should forget my birthday, it's over. It's over. Then God, she came to tell me. And I became the calendar of that brother. I will say, brother, have you April? Have you got something? Yeah, give it to your younger sister. Let her help you buy it. Hey, give her the assignment. Let her buy it and help you send gifts. And then write a message. Put it on your schedule. That day, let it just send. Because man said, hey, I'm busy. I'll be on the oil rig. Maybe go leave you. That's what love does. Love basically just disorganizes your reality. So those who have good mental strength and health, it tests them. How much more somebody that has a very fragile mind, that even on her own, and she's struggling to handle reality. And if you tell them, just do away with marriage, they almost beat you up. What do you think I should do with marriage? I must marry. My mother married so much time. Better do what is good for you. You have come to live your life. Don't live your life as a slave to anybody. Just live your life. Know what you can handle and what you cannot handle. So again, when you see yourself in that place, when you are losing faith in your marriage, faith in your husband, you are losing yourself, you are losing your mind, you must go back to your core. What are the core? What is the core? The core is the Holy Spirit. It was the one that you knew when nobody will take you, when nobody will accept you, when nobody will love you. He died before you came into knowledge of yourself. He is the key. Go back to him. Restore your fellowship. Rekindle the fire of your fellowship. Rekindle the fire of your fellowship. That is how your spirit will not sleep. Set a timer. One of the things I do personally is teaching my class. The classes I teach every day, 6 and 10 p.m. They are part of my way. I have to study. They help me. I have to study. I have to read. I have to meditate. I have to do it over and over and over again. And I teach. I teach my class every day of the year. So because of my own ability to drift, I know myself. I know I'm quite adventurous, and I love to see new things. And I get very bored easily. But I know my God. I know that it is by Him that I can run through a troop. It is by Him that I can live by a wall. When I didn't have Him, I couldn't do all that. So this superpower is in me, and I want to put it to use, right? I want to put it to use to see what I'm capable of doing. What is this power that is in me? What am I capable of doing with it? But sometimes when you are doing that, you will not leave the source of the power behind. You will now be using the anointing, using the anointing, using the anointing, until one day you find out that you have left the person that gave you the anointing. You have left the person there, no more fellowship, no more love, no more relationship. But now people are greeting you. I don't got my person, but I don't got, come and speak in Singapore, come and speak in Ohio, come and you are going there, everybody is talking. Hey, Tiama, Honda Motors, Nigeria Limited. you are shaking your head, you are wearing suits. You are doing like as if you are the one that carried the whole world on your shoulder. Later, you get to your room, you find yourself depressed and alone. There is Holy Spirit. You are becoming like Saul. You must go back to that call. You must have that relationship. You must meditate. You must sing to Him a song of love. I mean it. You must write to Him notes of love. You must let Him know He's your anchor, your joy, your peace. He is the owner of your spirit, and your spirit governs your soul. Don't forget that. That is how you don't sleep, in quietness. And in strength is your salvation. In quietness and in fellowship is your salvation. It is how you know your strength, how you build your relationship, how even with your husband, your wife, that's how you do it. You go to them, you kiss them, I love you. Shame you know I love you. I love you for no reason. I just love you. You begin to reassure them of your love every day. All the tantrums will reduce. You begin to tell yourself, this man loves me. He will not misbehave to me. I know. This man, oh, he didn't come back home early today. He loves me. Ah, my husband. My husband can give his eyes to me. I love my husband. My husband loves me. When the devil begins to whisper something, say, no, my husband loves me. My husband loved me. No. He's a man of integrity. You tell yourself that over and over again. The other one will come home and say, oh, I was caught in traffic. You say, hey, do you know what I was thinking? Devil was making me think maybe you went to see somebody. And I said, no, my husband loved me. I reassured myself of your love. I told myself that this man, no. He has proven himself to be a man that's what his word is worth a lot. I cannot just allow one silly thoughts to change him in my thinking, to be defining. That's how we do it. That's how we rekindle our love. That's how we reassure ourselves. That's how we come out of any place that our mind wants to take us to. All right, I believe those people have caught up now. So let's go to how to prophesy. Don't worry, you're not listening to anything. How to prophesy is not difficult. A lot of people just do not have the confidence to prophesy, which is a problem. A lot of people, they do not have the confidence to prophesy. Number two, a lot of people, they are looking for prophecy that is very gargantuan. They think, when God speaks, God will just say, I will move. I have talked like that before. So I'm basically telling you something unreasonable that I've talked about before. One day I was praying, and then I said, there's nothing impossible for God to do now. God can just carry all of us in Africa, take us and land us in America, and carry all the people in America and bring them to Africa. Let them come and develop Africa. Since we cannot develop ourselves, they have developed their own country now. We should just change places. God will just say, wake up. You wake up like this. Imagine that you wake up in Philadelphia. And then the people in America wake up and they wake up in Oshodi. Can you see? That God has done a great thing. And that's, now we can eat the food of the Gentile. I think something so. So I know my own mind, how I can think of extremely wild things in my mind. But that's not prophetic. That is just wishful thinking, and I know it. So I will not then be thinking like that and say to myself, and then when I'm teaching, I will not say to people that, guy, yesterday God was speaking to me. God said he will carry all the people in Africa, he will carry them to America. And then he will carry people in America to Africa because we have suffered. He will use that as reparation for us. And then we will now enjoy the advancement of that they have worked for. And then they will have to come and build Africa and make it great. I will not say that's prophecy because that is just me, my wishful thinking. I should know what my wishful thinking is or what my inordinate ponderings or wandering mind can conceive. I should be able to separate that from what I know that within the nature and power of God, God can do. Now, you understand what I just said? Can I see your hand? Do you get it? I wanted you to know the difference between wishful thinking and God talking to you. So, do you get it? I want to know. Can I see hands? I want to know you got it. Thank you. So many of us then, the we do not know how to separate. You know, your mind is wandering. You are just there, you are thinking, oh, I saw that doctor or I saw that engineer in the office of that accountant. They must be talking about Baba Winga. Maybe they want to sack that guy. And then you say, people are planning to sack you. It's just your wandering thoughts. All of us have them. All of us have them. Kenneth Higgins said that a bird can fly over your head, but you must not allow it to build a nest on your head. He said thoughts are like birds, that they can fly. They fly, they just fly. But and you don't have to entertain any thoughts. But if you then focus on one thought and you begin to think of it, it begins to build a nest in your head. It will lay eggs. Before you know it, it will begin to control your behavior, your attitude, your worldview, your perception. So a lot of people, they do not know how to separate their imagination from their wandering thoughts from God speaking to them. So you have a duty to separate the two. Don't say God said when your imagination is just running wild. That's not how God speaks. So in order to know how God speaks, you have to know the nature. I told you yesterday when I was saying you must be conversant. You must know the Spirit. You must know the nature of God. There's nothing God cannot do. But will God do certain things? No. For example, God will not move all Africans to America. And he will not move all Americans to Africa simply because we refuse to develop our continent and want to eat free food. God is not like that. But of course, if I didn't know the nature of God, because I had that thought and it was very striking in my heart, I may begin to see it will happen. I'm going to see it happen. I've seen some prophecies that failed in my life from a great man of God. A man of God predicted that by year 2010, Nigeria would be split into three. He said he saw a vision. He saw three crowns in the map of Nigeria. And that by year 2010, Nigeria would be split into three. And the newspapers published it. I saw it in the religious column of Tribune newspaper. Maybe 1987 or 1988. My father read a lot of Tribune. I read it a lot, and he saw it at home. He used to have stacks of newspaper everywhere. And so in my spare time as a young boy, I used to read all these things, and I used to pick the articles and columns. I usually avoid the news because the news would have been stale. But the articles and columns, you can still read them and learn one or two things. And I saw this prophecy. The prophecy struck my heart because at that time it was making sense, right? That there are three major tribes, as they used to say, and that eventually Nigeria would go in that direction. Actually, because they just came out of civil war, and it was as if, even though they said the war is gone, people still had a lot of misgivings about the war. So I was waiting for 2010. Just imagine, I was P7. 7 years old or 8 years old when I read that column. And it's registered with me so much. I was waiting for 2010 to see what will happen. That prophecy failed. It means that this man of God, and he was a well-known man of God, I've forgotten his name, but he was a very popular man of God, because the newspaper wouldn't carry somebody that really didn't have any name. And at that time, I remember his name at that time. So I know his name. It was even because of the name that I read the prophecy. But then I've forgotten his name now. So that man must have looked at Nigeria, the way things were going, and must have thought this country would not stay together. So again, prophecy is not as a result of your permutation, your cogitations, your calculations, that you have seen something. And suddenly you are prophesying. For example, I saw a couple that ought to marry each other, that I know that they will be a very good couple. They'll be good as a couple. I saw them one time. When I saw them, my spirit rejoiced. So I reached out to the sister and I said, "Is that the person?" And she said, "Oh, most likely." And then I didn't hear anything anymore. So imagine that after that, and the girl then said, "Most likely," then I began to prophesy. It will be wrong. Prophecy is not based on information. So when people reach out to me and say, "Rabinga, I was praying. I saw Sister A and Brother B." That's not prophecy. That's you should be careful. So that you don't take yourself away from reality and begin to act like a mad person. Not only people, they hide madness under prophecy. That's why they say a lot of prophets were mad. You know, in certain churches, there are prophets, 2-3 years after, they will go mad. Then they will say, "Oh, it is the prophecy that made the person mad. It's not the prophecy. The person has madness before. The person is just using prophecy to hide the madness." Prophets have sound their mind. By the grace of God, I operate in the office of a prophet once in a while. I'm a teacher by calling. But once in a while, I do hear from the Lord, and I do share what the Lord says. And my mind is extremely sound. Even so, I'm the one saying so. I have a right to say so, because I'm acknowledging every good thing that the Lord is doing in my life. So what is prophecy? Ezekiel 37 is a perfect example of what prophecy. Yesterday I said you must learn to hear. That many of us, we like to speak, we do not hear. We like to talk. "God, do this, God, do that. Give me a word over this matter. God, is he the one? God, is he the one? Tell me now that there are three people that want to marry me. Is it Balagenga? It's not Balagenga. I don't get married." That's not how to ask from the Lord. It's not telling him to talk on the matter. No. Hear. When you begin to hear from the Lord, he will begin to tell you first about yourself. Don't forget that if you don't become the kind of vessel that the world can believe, then the word of God in your mouth is useless. Let me say that again. Now, the way people used to see me and know me in my past, I had a reputation among my friends. When I was growing up, I had friends who we grew up together who would say, "Ah, this guy, you're so smart. You are going to one day, you are going to rob the CBN." I'm not kidding. Our friend who said, "Ah, you're going to take over my day, Ben Day. Ah, you're so smart." Because of some of the things I would teach them and some of the things I would do when I was young. So when many of them heard that I became a minister of the gospel, they said, "Yeah, we know. We know that this guy is going somewhere." So I didn't try to talk to them. I ignored them. I just did my work with the Lord. Until eventually, one by one, they became born again through my ministration. No, they became. And then they would tell me, they would say, ah, we just saw that you have changed. You see, because they were like, we just saw that you have changed. Everything about you has changed. The way you handle yourself, the way you come in, you have changed. We can see it. That's why I said the first person God deals with in prophetic is you. If it does not change you so that people can want to hear your testimony and that people can believe, people can trust your integrity, and people can believe what you are saying, then what is the point of the word? Imagine that somebody is a chronic liar. The person that saying God is talking to him. People will say, hey, God is talking to a liar. Who will believe a liar? You see now? So God prophecy is first about the person that God wants to use. So you see in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah began to prophesy, not he has not seen the Lord. He was prophesying because Israel didn't have a prophet and had this notion in his heart that he would be a prophet. So he began to prophesy, what are you prophesying? What are you this? What are you that? Then the day he saw the Lord, he said, ah, who is me? Why? Because that day he encountered the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy would encounter you. You. Same thing he did with Jesus, same thing he did with John the Baptist, same thing he did with Samuel. We would first deal with the person. So that's how you begin to know the voice of God. If God has not, if you don't have a relationship with God in which God is telling you, God has corrected you, that you will do something wrong, that you will feel reprimand in your heart. Nobody needs to tell you. In fact, sometimes somebody will know. You will do something wrong by yourself. Sometimes maybe you're even driving and you drove, you got out, maybe road rage. You are driving, you had road rage, or your wife spoke to you and you spoke back in a certain manner. Or your husband spoke to you spoke back in a certain manner, or somebody at work, you screamed, or you just did something silly. Even with your children, you did something silly, and nobody was there. And God did not say, ha, why did you behave like that? Why did you behave like that? What are you solving for? Then you cannot, you are not yet somebody that can prophesy. So prophecy is best. The person must hear admonition, reprimand, correction, encouragement, instructions from God about himself or herself. This is the beginning of prophecy. You are beginning to hear from God. And the first thing you are going to hear is about who you. It is not about God. Not going to say, go and talk to this one. Go and say to this one. No, God, don't, that's not what you say. God is talking to you about yourself. How you become a worthy ambassador who he can then send on errand, or who he can give messages to. How you can do better in your relationship with people, how you can act better, how you can change, how things can begin to work out for you as a child of God. So if you understand this point, can I see your hand? Do you get it? That is how prophecy starts. God speaks to you and it leads to change. Are we together? Tap, tap, tap. Thank you. I've seen the hands. Thank you. So that's first. So sometimes you see some people, they say they are prophets. You see their life. You see their life. They have two or three wives. Their clothes are dirty. They have not had, they are just behaving like mad people. You know what I tell you before? I said a lot of people are mad, but they will say they are prophets. And then people will be going to them, people think that prophets are supposed to look like John the Baptist. No, please. People are mad. A lot of people are mad. As in they have mental problems. They should be in RU or psychiatric or two. But they were saying they are prophets. You will see from their conduct, from their behavior. Somebody is a 419, say, you introduce yourself to people as a prophet. You say, my prophet, Lagdos. I met one. Said he's a prophet. He had braids on his head. He had video of all sitting with him. He saw me. He saw me. He said, one of them should come and call me. He didn't know that I was raised in the battle. Let's go to come for me. So now for me, I've seen your face somewhere. Of course, my face, people will see it, but they will not know where they saw it because I'm not on TV, but I'm on the internet. So they might have heard one or two things about me, but they will dismiss it. But it will be in their subconscious mind. So he saw my face and he was like, I know this guy. That said, he just saw me, just said, I know your face. The Lord showed me your face. I was looking at him. The Lord showed me your face just now. I tried to place your name, like you are. Are you a journalist or a minister? Are you a journalist or a minister? I said, your name is. I mentioned his name, I called by his name, a Yoruba name that the father gave him. And this is your name. You are here trying to send you this one that you want to take them abroad, that you want to take them for football trials. Boys, if you give him your money, he's 419. The man was looking at that, I said, it's true. I said, go and Google him. I know he's going to sell a lot more. I'm minister of the gospel. This guy is a crook. He's a liar. Oh, my. Hey, thank you, Holy Spirit. Those days I was young, though. That boy was like beating me that day. Because he's bigger than me. But I couldn't resist it. I couldn't. I couldn't. Anyway, let's go back to class. So once God has been talking to you about yourself and you can hear his voice clearly. Sometimes you dress, he will tell you, change that clothes. Very little things. Sometimes you want to eat, he will say, no, don't eat at home, pack the food. Sometimes you will see him wake you up in the morning, you are sleeping, you just feel like a tap on your body. He will wake you up to go and prepare for work, to read your Bible and prepare for work. You have this conscious relationship with him where you know that, God is in my life. You are preparing, he's preparing you for a word of prophecy. Then he'll begin to give you outward instructions. Maybe you are going to the office. Then the Lord will tell you, your boss, he will come to the office today. He's going to wear that blue suit. Not more than that. You get to the office, your boss will wear the blue suit. You will confirm it. Wow. I was in the car and God just told me that this man is going to wear a blue suit. And I came to the office and he's wearing the blue suit. Wow. And then one day the Lord will say to you, buy a gift and give it to your friend. You just mention the person's name or give him money. And then you get to the office, just take money, give it to the person. I remember when I was in the university, I was so hungry one day, so hungry. And I was in my room. And this young man, not man at the time, it's like a younger brother to me, very much younger brother. Maybe I'll be older than him by at least 6 years. But it was another level at the time, and I was in 200 level. And he came from home, and he came straight to my room. And he said, when I was in the bus, God said I should give you money. And he gave me 500 naira. The guy died. He's a pastor now. That was the idea, he was going to be a pastor. I knew that God was talking to him. He's a pastor now in the US. The guy died. I knew that. Like, I was in my room. He came from wherever he was. He was looking for me until they found me. He said, when I was in the bus, God said God told me that I should give him money. Then he gave me 500 out of his pocket money. I said, oh boy. Because, well, I had a good deal. I never asked anybody for anything in my life. I will never ask you. I say, I'm hungry. I'd rather die. So I have that. I do not know how to beg or ask for. I'll just pray and forget about it. If I perish, I perish. So when the boy was, I was like, what? So that day I knew. I said, I didn't going to be a pastor. I knew. I said, God is talking to this boy. That was how I knew. Because before that, I didn't even know he was born again. I just knew that all of us were born and blessed together. So those are the things. God will begin to tell you. So you notice that God begins to tell you about people. He will tell you, talk to this one. You get to talk to the person. The person will say, I'm depressed. Nobody is talking to me in 3 days. You talk to this one. This one will say, I need counsel. I've been waiting. And then you notice that God begins to lead you to those who need help. By doing that, it creates an impression in their hearts that you are a child of God. And it creates an impression in your heart that they are children of God. And the Bible says that this is how we know that we are children of God. We know because there's an assurance of the Holy Spirit that establishes it. So don't be somebody that you're walking on the road and one person will say, don't send a message to you. Somebody that's just a stranger. Don't ever fall for it. The worst a stranger can do for you is to help, not to talk. You are stuck in traffic, you have to clear traffic or that's true. But that he wants to give you a message from God. No. Not in this kingdom of God. In the old Israel, they do that because all of them were under different gods and they were not, they were under religions. But in this kingdom, we have the Holy Spirit. A stranger, the voice of a stranger, you will not hear, right? So that's how you establish that. Then he begins to tell you now about other things. Notice the progression. Notice the progression. Pay attention to it. So then now, when you are reading your Bible, he will begin to tell you, this is what happened. He will tell you things from the past. He will tell you things in the present. He will tell you things in the future. And then he begin to tell you solutions. What will happen tomorrow, next month, January, February. We are in February now. As you are praying now, you will notice that those of you are at that stage. God will tell you anything that happened in March. When we did our course of our service, one of the things the Lord told us is that this month is the month of undimming sun. Our sun will no more go down. And one of the signs of it is the spring of life. It's all these weddings that we're having and all the relationships that are springing up. It is an evidence of it. It's also part of the prophecy for the month. And all those things, the Lord will speak to you. For March now, the Lord should begin to tell you, this is where you'll be, this is where you'll be. So a Christian does not say, I don't know where my life is going. I don't know the direction of my life. If I'm going to resign from a job, from a work, the Lord told me in 2019 when I was going to resign from my office in Magodo, he told me, resign. I said, what will I eat? Hey, resign. I still collect salary from this place, even though it's small. I'm still collecting salary. And I'm in the office and I'm using their King's Church. Something like you're saying I should resign. I'm not resigning. I should have resigned, I believe, after convention in August. After the absolute convention in August, I should have resigned. I waited. The more I waited, the more was finding me with instruction, assignments. So I'm glad to do the assignment even though I didn't resign. And by November, I had to resign because I couldn't do my work and do their work. Plus, they also began to give me some problems. So you would know that if my time in this office is up, you will not suddenly get a sack. Somebody just sacked me. It came out of the blue. No. Not for a Christian. You will know that something is happening in this office. But you get to the office that day, you feel like a stranger. You say, my spirit is no longer in this office. My spirit is no longer in this office, you know? I just came to the office that day and it was as if I was disconnected. I said, that means I'm going to leave this office very soon. That's how you know prophets. A prophet's internal structures are well built. Somebody who doesn't have any internal structure of God cannot be a prophet. There was a girl I met in 2008. My brother will remember this, my mom too, and my sisters. My sister was getting married in 2008. Then she said she has a friend that they want to come to the wedding in Ibadan. Then they said, there's one girl I wanted to attend the wedding from Lagos that we should give her a ride. And now this girl entered the ride, though. She said she was a prophetess from Selika Church. I was looking at her, she was looking at me. She was giving me that eye. Me too. I wasn't a slacker now. I was giving her the eye back. She was sitting beside me. She would put her hand on my lap. I would take my eyes away. What's my own? Is that how I'm still around? We got home. Wedding was tomorrow. The house was full of crowd everywhere. Crowd everywhere. So all myself, my sister, my brother, all of us that are from the same mama, mother, and my mother is the mother of the bride. All of us slept in the same room. So all the other rooms were occupied by guests. In the middle of the night, like this, I just felt a hand caressing my chest. I was beside my mommy's bed. My mommy is born again. My mommy catch you. Hey. I didn't know what to do. I froze. I was thinking, this girl has no reference. She sneaked into my mother's room, my sister, my brother, everybody in the same room. And she sneaked and she came to lie down beside me. I couldn't shout. Because if I shout, they see that everybody will blame now. They will see you started. You told your sister's ready. I did not mean. I didn't even do anything except that when we were in the car, she was talking to her, I was talking back, but I didn't ask her anything like that. Just that look, that devilish look that people give themselves when they have bad intention. I gave it back to her. Just the look. Eventually, God that you saved me, NEPA brought light. Those days, we don't have solar and everything. Just waiting for NEPA to bring light. NEPA brought light. The whole house just became lit up. So my mom just sat up and my mom looked at her. My mom saw that all her children plus this girl is in the room. And this girl was there. I'm also Mom said, you know what? I was like, God, mommy will beat everybody here today. She just got up and left. But no, the prophetess, that's not a prophetess. She has no internal structures of being a prophet. A prophet is a person of dignity, not somebody who just misbehaves. You know, doesn't mean that person cannot like a boy or get married or have a relationship, but there's an internal structure that binds the prophet so that it's, when he gives you a prophecy, you will not be thinking, how can this person? No. The prophecy has to have the integrity and the weight of believability. Don't forget that. So finally, this is finally, after that, we move on to another topic. You must say what God says. God will say to you, say this. Look at the book of Ezekiel 37. He said, and this won't leave. Ezekiel said, only thou knowest, right? And then God said, say. Did you see? It didn't, Ezekiel did not form the word. A prophet will say what God says. The Bible says, for he has said, so that I can boldly say. He said, God will speak, then you would repeat after him. Says, once have you spoken, twice have I heard. It is the word of God and the voice of the person repeating. It has to be said, my father said, so I said. My father said, I will say. So my father will speak. So as I pray, God will say, Ibadan, you are blessed. You say, thank you, Jesus. Ibadan is blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there will be rain in Benin. Oh, Benin, the last thing that is raining you, you will hear it, and then you will repeat it. That is the key to prophecy. Say as he speak as he speaks. Say what he says. Don't form words. No. Say as he said it. Once he says a thing, repeat it after him. Once he says a thing, repeat it after him. That is, you are validating the word of God as it is coming to you. Your spirit will be so hyped. You know, when you are praying, suddenly you hear the word. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So and so will be free. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, the economy will turn around. Oh, the economy. It is done. No matter what anybody does after, it doesn't matter. What God told you is what God has told you. And that is what you will stand on. And you will realize that you are beginning to speak as a prophet for God and as a prophet of God. That is how we speak. Tomorrow, I'm going to speak on the two kinds of prophecy. So don't miss tomorrow's class, 6 p.m. That's what you see. So I'm going to talk about some other things tonight. So don't miss the class for 10 p.m. All right, it's time to give our offering. Glory to God. Hey, thank you, Lord. Many people are meeting to me. Their ears are opening since yesterday. They are hearing, and they are speaking, and the word of God die unto them. Glory to God. Is it the network? Okay, thank you. So, this offering is for those who heard me today. We are giving the offering to the poor, but deliberately I make sure that the offering worked for those who hear the word. It is not good to come to the presence of God empty and death. But at the same time, it's not good to hear the word of God and not receive the impartation of the word. So what I'm doing now is basically giving the opportunity to receive the impartation of the word. My love with Lord God has waxed cold. I want to restore fellowship. I just want to. I want that fire back. I want it back. I've never heard from God before. I want to begin to hear. I want Him to change my life, change my story. I don't want to be somebody that's always going to be able to pray for me. I want to know that my God speaks and I hear Him. And that I'm a sheep. I have that confirmation in my heart that when He speaks, I hear Him. Also, for those who are waiting on the Lord for marital settlement, the news that I've heard that has gladdened my heart, it is still gladdening my heart. I went to a wedding this morning and I've heard of other weddings. One of our sisters also wrote to me that she's getting married on the 28th of February. As I was suggesting about that, I was hearing about someone that is getting married on the 28th. Oh. As we give this offering to the poor, because the Lord said we should, I declare that as their joy is full, so shall your joy be full. As their needs are met, so will your needs be met. You will experience leaps in the place of the Spirit. You will experience enduring grace, enduring love, and enduring power in the place of the Spirit. Your joy shall be full on every side. I declare it. That which has eluded you for so long, you suddenly find it coming to you without a struggle. Let the angel of the north wind and the angel of the south wind let them awake, and let there be fragrance that will bring to you the fulfillment that God has for you. Thank you, Father, for you have done it. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, glory!
Glory! Glory! Glory! Glory!